Welcome to the Optimal Health Podcast from Hudson Physicians, getting you back to optimal health when you're feeling sick, stressed, overwhelmed, or run down. Today's topic is on the new building that Hudson Physicians is putting together on the other side of the highway, set to open January of 2023. And today we have their partners from Wells Concrete, Jace Rosso, who's a sales representative, and Nathan Roscovius, who's the project manager, are both here to talk about their process in the new building. And we're going to dive into all of the benefits that can really be felt and utilized by those around us with their technologies and what they do. So, gentlemen, we know this has been a big process, and I know that Matt Brandt and his team have worked very hard here at Hudson Physicians to put forth the very best effort for their patients and the families in Western Wisconsin. So thanks for taking the drive over here. We know you're tucked in lovely Maple Grove, Minnesota. You're taking a look at the site and things are underway. So first of all, let's say hello to, we'll start with Jace first. Hello, Jace.
Well, hello, and thanks for having us here.
It's absolutely fabulous to have here. And Nathan, hello, and welcome aboard.
I'm back. Yeah, thank you.
So let's talk first a little bit about Wells. Obviously, it would lend us to believe it's located or originated from Wells, Minnesota, which was southwest or east of Mankato?
It's about straight south, a little bit southeast of
straight
Mankato.
Yep. So that's where it all started.
Correct.
And you guys work for that company, but you're beyond just that, and there's lots of things. So either one of you can take this, Nathan or Jace. Give us a little bit of a history lesson and background on Wells.
Yeah, sure. Jace, why don't you take
All right, I'll take this one. Yeah. So I'm actually originally from a town right by Wells there. So,
which one?
Mapleton.
Absolutely.
Yep. So in between Mankato and Wells, basically.
What high school that put you at?
Maple River.
There it is.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Got it.
So, yeah, but overall, Wells started in 1957, and it was actually a sand and gravel company at the time. And as they expanded, they saw the demand that was increasing for precast components or prefabricated components. So we actually started by making double T's, which is a horizontal member, out in a cornfield. They were pouring those every day. And then saw that the demand was going to keep increasing and started making indoor facilities so that all of our products is made inside now in controlled environments. And we expanded from just a single 4 foot wide double T to 10 and 12 foot wide double T's. And then moved into it.
What's a double T?
Okay, so a double T is it's a horizontal structural member, and it makes floors and roofs. So it comes in a 10-foot wide section that's going to have a flat part on top that makes up the floor. And then we call it a double T because it has two stems coming down on it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the profile of it, it looks like two T's butted up next to each other.
So this is a process we were talking before we started this podcast that's actually been going on for not just 5 years or 10, but quite some time.
Yeah, yep. Decades. So, yeah, like I said, the double T started in the 60s, 70s is where we really expanded that line. And then it was about the 90s that the architectural walls really took off. And that's really become more of our core business now, is the architectural wall panels that you see all over the place. Pop up a building in no time, what would take other materials a long time. So, and then getting onto the expanded, since 2000, well, it was in the 90s, we acquired a company in Grand Forks. So we had two separate plants. And then in 2009, we built our corporate headquarters in Albany, which is just outside of St. Cloud. So we built that in 2009. I think that opened up. In 2014, we acquired Hanson Structural Precast. It was out of Maple Grove. And then shortly after that, we built a new plant in Rosemount, Minnesota. And then in 2018-ish, we bought or acquired Rocky Mountain Precast out in Denver, Colorado. And then just in 2020, I think it was, that we acquired Spancrete out of Wisconsin. So we're now Canada to Mexico, basically right in the middle of the U.S.
So you guys have expanded through acquisition.
Acquisition.
Big time.
Yep. And also, internal growth, too. Like, we built our Albany plant. We built our Rosemount plant. We're just finished up building a new plant out in Denver, too. So,
well, it's driven by good old-fashioned sales, right? You can't do anything unless you sell things.
Yeah.
And do you feel as though your organization is really well-positioned in the sales side of things?
Yeah, we do. And really, it starts with sales, but it really starts with our customers and the contractors, architects in the area. Mm-hmm. So that's where we really drive to create good relationships with the design partners that we have in the industry. And we've done a good job with that, I think, over the last, since the company started, really, just to have true partnerships within the industry that they come to us when they're looking for innovative ways to build a building.
So how did you guys come about this project?
This one, I was actually working with AmCon on another building that was similar to this, an office building that they were looking at Total Precast. And so we started in on that, and they said, hey, can we make this one work? And I said, of course. And so really started from that point there. And, they had an initial design that was actually focused around metal panel exterior and field-laid stone. So that was kind of the big hurdle right off the bat of, well, how are we going to make this out of precast? Because a precast building, the advantage is that we're the entire shell in one product. So we have the structural, the insulation, and the architectural aspects of it. So if you, cover up our exterior of our panels, that's kind of taking away that advantage.
Sure.
So we had to use a few of our newer techniques, one of them being what we call our travertine finish that creates, it mimics a stone look. So when the building's up, everybody else is going to think that it's a stone being set out there, but it's really just concrete. And then the other part of it was to make a metal panel finish, that kind of has a little bit of a reflection to it. Naturally, metal panels do.
Yeah.
And naturally, concrete does not. So
last time I checked, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's where we had to bring in one of our other industry partners that we've worked with over the years here, NACA, which they do more staining and fuel applied applications. And they're out of the Chicago area, but they're actually international. They have some work up in Canada as well. So they come out and actually post-apply a finish onto our panels that'll give more of that reflective look to it and many different colors too.
So as a project goes, you're showing that you had to have some flexibility.
Correct.
In your process.
Yes.
How often is it cookie cutter versus needing, I don't know which one you want to take this one, versus needing to be flexible and create what's desired but functional?
Yeah, yep. So really there's not a whole lot of cookie cutter that we do anymore. this project that we're doing for the medical office building, that's a design build project. So that's different in itself, where we work directly with AmCon to get the proper footprint and all the aesthetics that they're looking for. A lot of times we do a design bid build building, which is you have a full set of plans in front of you. You bid it, and then you make your drawings, shop drawings off of that. But every building's different. Every finish is different. There's always intricacies inside of buildings that are going to be different. So, I don't know that I've done two jobs that are really the same here in the 10 years that I've worked at Wells.
I'm dying to ask this question. Do you ever run into a situation where I know architects do what they do, and they try to live within the realm of what's realistic to executing, right? I mean, I'm sure.
They try, yeah.
Right, okay. So, yeah, right? Yeah, no. But do you ever run into where there may be a client that says, we have to have this, and it has to do this and has to do that, and then you as a group have to say, how do we do this? What does that process look like, and is there – anything you can't do, or do you find a way? What's the MO that way for Wells?
Well, I'd say you kind of hit it on the head there. It happens on every project almost.
Yeah.
The architect always want things to look great. Engineers always want things to stand up and last forever. So that's where we got to kind of play in the middle. Contractors want it to go up fast and cheap. So we got to try to, make everybody happy. There's always an issue that'll come up, though, that we got to say, all right, we got to look at it a different way to look at this. And so, this is a prime example of the metal panel thing. We've never done this before, the metal panel aspect of it. NACA has done it forever, but it's just something that we were originally trying to go to a different finish, one that we typically do. And that's where AmCon and the ownership group said, no, we want this metal panel look. So then we really had to get together and find a new way to do this. So that's where we reached out to NACA, and we were able to come up with a solution for it.
Yeah. Do you find that when that happens? Sorry, I didn't mean to jump in. Go ahead.
Well, and I think that's why Wells is brought on, because we're not the people who are going to tell you no. There's some things where you have to come to a compromise on, but we strive to be ingenuitive in the whole industry. If there's some sort of issue like the stain issue, we really can't get that look out of just a traditional concrete. We're going to explore our options to see what we've got. So yeah, mm-hmm. Jace figured out NACA was. They were the guys to do it, and yeah, it's something on every project, and yeah, it's one of the fun things about being a subcontractor too, is that we've got new things to discover, and we've got these new issues to get through, and yeah, makes our life exciting.
What's cool about it too, though, is then now that you've sorted this out and figured it out, the copycats can come through and say, wow, that yeah. Hudson Physicians building looks amazing. Sure. We want to mimic and replicate that in our own way. Mm-hmm. And now you can say, well, sure, we can do that.
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's, too, that started with the stone look that we're doing, too. You know, we've done that on a few projects in the past, so then it was like, all right, we just got to find a way to make it look how AMCON wanted this one to look. You know, there's always different colors that that they want to be looking at, so... That was bringing that up, and, you know, nothing's cookie cutter, but in the end, it's all the same components. So when you really break it down, we can use a lot of experience that we've had from other projects in the past.
Yeah. You know, you're working on structures such as this right now, and then obviously we were talking about the one outside. Is it off left field by Target Field,
yeah.
kind of by the Ford Center there?
Yeah.
It's not on the Ford Center property, is it?
It actually,
it better not be.
Yeah, it actually, I think it's adjacent.
520. Fifth Avenue South, no, North, whatever. Yeah. No, I'm just a classic building. But anyway, so you're working on something like that. Do you find through your travels that there are certain things where architecture, look, feel can be welcoming to people and bring them in through doors? Is that ever part of the process? This is a layman's question because, you know, you're driving around. You go, oh, yeah. But do you find that if it's a physician's building like this that – there's a certain warmth or feel or something that they're trying to get to that will allow people to feel welcomed and come through the door. Does that come through part of this process at all?
It does. You know, that I think would be more of a question for an architect because they're the ones that are doing that design. But I guess just from my perspective, if I'm going up to a medical office building, you know, and it's a tin shed out in the middle of the country, you know, that maybe not
feeling
that
too
word.
Good.
Yeah, exactly.
1850 might have been okay.
Yeah, exactly. But when you pull up and you see a big concrete structure, you know it's a safe and durable environment. And then we bring in the warmth by adding other features that, you know, give it a different architectural feel to it as well. Mm-hmm. So,
as far as length in this project versus other projects, mm-hmm. on average, how much faster in percentages does this process make completing a project such as this?
Yeah, so it all depends on the process or on the project. But in a project like this, if you were to try to do the things that we're doing on site, really you're taking a lot of the time out of the end of the project. So we consider the end of the schedule your most critical time. Whereas with precast, you're doing all of your coordination work up front. So as far as a time standpoint, you may spend a little bit more time in the upfront pre-construction phase where Jace is working on it with the architect, and then I'm working on it with the design team, with the architect and design team. And then from that point, when you get out onto the site, it makes it exponentially faster.
I can't believe how quick it goes. I was saying before we started, yep. Where did that come from? Yep. And it's boom, boom, and then they're finishing the inside. What did you two learn in this process about the leadership of Hudson Physicians, how they are, what they want, and how it's translated to what you're putting together for them?
Well, I think it started, you know, when we got started early on with this, you know, working with AMCON, we really did it more of a collaborative approach to where we were starting our shop drawings before they had finished their drawings. So as we're doing that, you know, things would pop up where all of a sudden the ownership group said, hey, we're actually going to make this room into a surgery center now, too, or we have this equipment that needs to get in. So it's just kind of trying to stay as flexible as possible and being able to tell them that, yeah, we can do that, or, you know, no, this isn't the best area to put something like that where it should be, you know, in this area where we can actually make that work. So they've been great to work with from everything that I've seen. And yeah. I don't know if you have anything else to say on that.
No, really. I think as far as the changes go, there hasn't been a whole lot from changes. AMCON came with a pretty solid set of plans going into it, and we've made very few changes to those plans.
Wow, I would think that would be kind of rare, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, not in a design build. Typically in a design build, you're still figuring it out as it goes. But I feel like Hudson, they've had a very good knowledge of what they wanted, and AMCON's done a really good job at identifying those needs. So I think we've maybe had a goal I don't know, 4 or 5 different changes through the process, but nothing that's been major. So it's really gone well, smooth.
And that's another advantage of precast. You know, we're able to create buildings that are just in general more flexible because of the longer and shallower spans that we can do. So from a floor to floor heights, we're able to do shallower sections, so you have more room there. And then longer spans, so less intermediate or interior columns are needed. So they actually come in and do their final build out, you know, that's all done with stick framing or, you know, steel studs, stuff like that. So they just have a lot more flexibility of where they put their walls and where they are going to be putting all their equipment.
Question. Mm-hmm. I've watched the process a little bit. Mm-hmm. Looks like the, what do you call it? The piece? What's it called?
Yep, the pieces.
Of the Legos.
Yeah.
Are put down on the ground and then are held up by maybe some beams at an angle, correct?
Yeah, so
but there's space, yeah. I've noticed. How do you pin those together so it becomes enclosed?
Yeah, so we stitch them together with weld plates, essentially. So inside of every single panel, there's a plate, a steel plate that we cast inside of it. And then in the adjacent panel, we have another steel plate. And then we bridge them with an angle or a plate, and it's all welded together. So
on site?
On site, yeah.
Okay, what does that look like? I mean, is that a big piece or?
Like
in size, for instance, with one of these walls, how big would that be?
Yeah, so the walls, some of those spandrels we have on this project are getting close to 54,000 pounds that we're swinging up and setting. Yeah, so in some of the tees are getting pretty close to that as well. So there's some very heavy pieces on this project. But really from ground up, we've either got bolts or we've got welded connections that keep everything stitched together.
Now, Nathan, you were saying that this will be stronger than an old school masonry type job where they slap up the bricks. By the way, when I was a kid, I used to watch those projects. It was pretty awesome to watch. Those guys were fast. How'd they do it? But anyway, it's stronger, correct?
I think in some regards, yes, it's stronger. But the main thing that you're gaining with precast is the speed. Because now we've put all that work or all that effort, instead of having it on site, we've put it all into the plant. So everything's getting done either in drafting or it's getting done inside of the plant. So we can just bring that piece out. And instead of laying however many block it would take to build that wall, we're setting one piece.
How long did it take for you guys to be ready to go for this?
It took
from production.
While. Yeah. So when did we sign it up, Jace?
Oh, I don't remember exactly. You know, again, it was a very collaborative approach. So I think I've been working on it over a year, I think, by now. Yeah. But really, you know, a lot of that upfront stuff was just figuring out, can we do this? How do we do it? All that stuff. But when we actually started, you know, Nate's got the schedule here. It looks like we actually started drawing in July.
Yeah.
And
of this past year?
Of this past year.
July 2021.
Yep. Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you stop drawing and go into production, how long is that process?
Yeah, so our first piece that we produced that's actually going out to the site was the first week in November. So November 3rd, we produced the first piece.
And that started, they've started this, the cranes there, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are going to go check it out, right?
Yep.
That process has started, correct?
Yeah, we're erecting and we're planning on being out of there before Good Friday. So, April 15th.
And then they can get to work inside and do what they need to do. And
right.
Is your job done there then, or is there more that comes up?
Well, so there's a little more that comes up. So NACA isn't going to be staining. So they're not pre-staining the panels and sending them out on site. So they will be staining on site, which is still part of our scope of work. So they'll be staining throughout the spring. And they've got to be, I think the temperatures are like 20 degrees and rising to throw their stain on. Something like that.
Might have even been 40.
Yeah. But we'll have, so after we get that last piece set, there's still going to be a little detail work, which is finishing up welds and caulking and fire safing. So there's a little bit of work to be done after that.
Are the crane operators yours or somebody else?
We have our own crane operators for this
project. Good reason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
How good do they have to be?
They're spot on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They can't really screw that up.
Yeah, I mean, you're swinging 60,000 pound pieces, and they got to basically hold them in place.
Have they ever taken one out? They have to have.
Not that I know.
I don't think since we've been around.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. It just looked like it. Is wind an issue?
Yes.
I mean, Are there days where it's too windy and you say we can't go?
Absolutely. Yep. Right around that 15 mile an hour wind is where we start really checking. 20 miles an hour, it's a definite shutdown.
You're out.
But yeah, yep, you can imagine once we start bringing those pieces up in the air and that wind starts whipping, it's faster. The higher you go, that wind is going to be. So. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of our, you know, really at Wells, one of our biggest things is safety too.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not taking shortcuts by trying to swing these up as fast as we can if it's unsafe.
It's yeah. a day.
Right.
Or exactly. two.
Yep.
Or whatever.
Yep.
Well, I just think it would be so nerve-wracking to be behind those controls with that swinging around. I mean,
yeah.
there's people on the ground, too, that you need to be yeah, aware absolutely. Of as well.
Well, so sometimes you can't even see, you know, they're sitting in the box down on the ground. They can't even see
Are
where
they
they're at.
Communicating?
So, yep, constantly communicating with the guys.
Through headphones or something?
Yeah, through yep. radio. But prior to that crane even going out on site, we take into consideration, okay, what's going to be our furthest reach? How far? So we've got to work with AMCON and their superintendent, and Craig's been great. But we got to work with them to see where can we park our crane and how far of a reach do we got to have? And at that far reach, how much can we lift at that far reach? And then what is our 4-to-1 safety ratio and make sure that everything is spot on so that when we go out there, nothing's an issue. You know, the only thing yeah. they have to worry about is the wind, the weather, and really how the crane's running.
The natural variables, so to speak,
correct.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm finding this very fascinating. I'm digging this conversation. This is yeah. a fun podcast. I like all the ones I do, but this is intriguing because I think it's an area when we all come to and from work, we see projects mm-hmm. everywhere, mm-hmm. Yep. but we don't really know. We see them moving along and progressing, but we don't really know what's going on behind it, yeah. what created it, how does this work? There's a whole industry. I mean, think about all of the things that your organization has purchased and how you've grown with the things that you do. I think it's absolutely fascinating. Is there one thing that you at Wells as a group really hang your hat on as far as what is important for the public to know about you as a company?
I would say doing the right thing because really we put out great product and we put out some really cool stuff. U.S. Bank Stadium, for instance, we did that.
Wait, what?
Yep, so everything, when you
Are
stand
you
down, yeah, if you stand down on the field and you look up in the stands, essentially everything you sit on inside of the stands was produced by Wells Concrete.
So all of the structural members on that yeah. project, all the architectural
Not the
stuff.
Glass.
No,
not the glass.
No, not the glass.
But like where the seats are.
Yep, and everything you sit on, yeah.
And that's been
Was that prefabbed?
That's yep. all prefabbed, yeah.
That's yep. been basically all the major stadiums around the Twin Cities area,
yep.
too.
Allianz Field, Target Center, Excel.
Target Field.
Target Field.
Wait, let's go back to Target Center for a second.
Sure.
Okay. Were you a part of that?
I personally wasn't a part of it.
But you guys.
But yes, Wells yeah, and hands in hand.
Well, how does an existing structure like that go over the makeover they do?
Yep.
Why didn't you just level it and start over? I mean, that was – I didn't even know they were doing this type of thing too.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. They brought – I mean
– Do you think they pulled it off?
Oh, I think so.
Oh, I'm yeah. sure. Yeah.
Like it's – does it feel like – I haven't been in it since.
Oh, I was in there one time, and I mean, I think it looks very nice.
Does
in there.
It feel like yeah. a different building?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, that big grand entrance that they made where you're, yeah. you walk in and it's all glass and it's multi-level and everything that you're mm-hmm. looking up instead of just a big.
Remember how you used to, you were kind of, I felt like I was going through like a lab rat
yep.
thing.
Exactly.
You know, in and out. It was like, just mm-hmm. flush them out the side door and get out of here.
Yep.
So they've got a more open approach.
Right, yep. And that's like, you know, when they were doing the renovations there, they had a. I can't remember, honestly, if that was us or if we lost that to one of our competitors doing the renovations. But we were looking at how do we get a crane inside this building to be able to set these pieces.
Yeah. How did you?
I honestly don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you know, I wish we had that project.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Did that come in pieces, you think?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I believe so. Typically when we do – so remodels are the hardest, mm-hmm. I would say. Something where we've got to get inside of a building and set our stuff because – our when we're setting new, generally we don't have anything above us, so our crane yeah. can be as tall as it needs to be. Yep. When you have to get inside of a building, that's when it gets tricky. So you can do truck cranes, which break down into kind of either modular pieces or they tuck all inside of themselves. And as long as you have an entryway into there, then you can drive that crane into it. But then you've got to have the space to actually set it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you guys work in a business where it's here's what we need, figure it out. Is that
very
fair?
Much so, yes.
Very much so. Yep.
If you are rigid in personality organization wide, other than if you're in the finance, no disrespect, you need to be. Mm-hmm. But you need to have flexibility. And you probably do there too because there's price structures flying all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You can't work for a company like yours with what you guys do and how you do it. Mm-hmm. And really what you're saying is there's really no job that you won't figure out. Mm-hmm. If you're not into a different day every day, it's not really a good career for you, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. Yep. Yeah, there's really every day you come into work and you have an idea of what you think you're going to do that day, but it's going to change because you're going to get one phone call where some new project's coming up where they want this crazy idea or something is going on with a current project where it's like, we didn't quite anticipate that. Now we got to figure out how we're going to fix that problem.
How much different are things today from where they were even 10 to 20 years ago in this business? And what are the biggest changes?
Yeah, the pace. The pace of construction is really, yeah, really elevated. And I would say we're getting involved in projects, I would say early on now, but really everything's getting scrunched down. So we've got to be a lot faster on our feet. Technology-wise, we've really got to stay up to par with everyone. But yeah, pace of construction is really going fast.
Do you think that can have a negative in terms of workmanship? I'm not saying on your perspective because you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Yep.
But if I'm being moved on pace on the inside and I'm doing cabinetry or whatever I'm doing, I think there's some – but do you feel like that could be impacting quality in any way, shape, or form? Or have people moved along so well that they're getting it done?
Yeah. And I think that really just lends itself to the advantage of precast where we're doing everything up front. So – you know, like Nate was saying, the pace is so much faster now. And really that comes from shortened construction schedules. Mm-hmm. They want once you're on site, they want to get that done as fast as they can because that's when the money's flying out the owner's pocket.
Yep.
So that's where we do everything up front, you know, in controlled environments where we can have higher quality without, you know, and speed, I guess I should say. Mm-hmm. So speed without affecting the quality because we're doing it all off site. And then we get to the site and just stand it up.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say then what you're really doing though, contrary to my question, is that you're giving the people that are working inside a little more time?
Yeah, with the pre-construction, yes. Yeah. Yep, we're giving them a little more time to get things done. And then with Jace's explanation here, we've got quality control, quality assurance along the way to make sure everything turns out well on our side. But to your question, I don't believe that it's getting any more unsafe because I would say, you know, really in the past 10 years, we haven't heard about a lot of deaths, which is very unfortunate on a construction site, you know. And,
yeah.
And, you know, a death on a construction site affects the whole, you know, everybody feels it. You know, it's not just a contractor that's on site or the subcontractor, whoever it happened to. Like, it's everybody on site and it's everybody in the, really in the community. So, yeah, safety is our number one concern. And I think contractors' number one concern. And there are so many safety measures now compared to even 10 years ago, there was a lot of safety measures. But now they're coming out with technology where you can wear like a GPS unit on your hat, on your hard hat, and walk around. And you can be tracked on site to make sure things are going, you're not going outside of a red tape area or you're staying inside of your boundaries and you're doing everything correctly. But yeah, I would say safety is number one goal of everybody. Yeah, subcontractors and contractors.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We're going to start winding it down here. I bet you guys didn't think we could go about 30 minutes. Oh, did you think we could?
Oh, man, we can talk about
it. No, I love it. This is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
The field house for the training and the things that will be occurring with the TCO group and how they're going to work that, did that present any different looks and challenges to the architecture and what you're putting together? Because does it have a taller? I haven't seen the full drawings. Yeah. Were there things you needed to address with that?
You know, from the architectural look of it, that they really did kind of change gears there and went to more of the full stone look instead of the as much banding of windows and everything. Because inside of a field house, you can't have a bunch of windows at, you know, height where a soccer ball is going to kick into it.
So, yeah.
So there was more of that to it. We were still able to create those panels, though, just basically the same. And then the roof structure got a little bit more complicated there, because when you look at, you know, again, something most people don't care about, I guess, but when you have a tall building right next to a short building, a lot of snow drifts up onto that, onto that building. So we got to make sure that, since it was another two levels of office building above this field house, that the roof was designed to do that. So in order to do that, we have to go to some deeper structural members and everything. And it took a little bit of thinking, but we got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. It definitely needed. I mean, the kids need to play, so I just need to make sure we got that that part covered too as well. Well, guys, it's been a great chat. We reached a lot of different topics, and you know, one of the things that your website says is, "Let's transform your community." Mm-hmm. And I think from your world, you two get up every day, and I can see your energy and passion for your work and your organization. Do you feel like you're transforming your community every day?
Yeah, I would say so. And one of the cool things that we have to offer is all of our architectural finishes. There's really nothing out there. If you can imagine it, we can figure it out. As far as graphic paper, where if you're in a community that has something very important, or the building has something very important, we can actually put that paper, or we can put that picture into our precast, where you can see the face, you can see whatever monument you want on that. So, and it's a long-lived structure too, so it'll be around forever. It's very safe. We do tornado resistant buildings as well. So
now I can't go, because I do have to. What does that mean?
Yeah, so,
I mean, for real?
Yeah.
Yep. Come on.
Yep. Yep. ICC 500 is a new standard that a lot of schools have. But really, it's a tornado shelter inside the school.
Yep.
So a lot of the times, we'll design a gym to be, or the architect in EOR will request that a gym is tornado resistant, ICC 500. Mm-hmm. And then we have to design the gym to essentially stand up to a tornado.
And that was a recent code change here lately, where any publicly funded building, I believe is kind of the term that it goes with, has to have this storm shelter in it. So all new schools that are being built, or even additions to schools, or government centers or anything like that, they have to have a storm shelter, and precast is just a very good solution.
At what stage does that happen for every building and become the norm? Is that going to happen, you think, or does it stay just with publicly funded facilities?
I could see it expanding, but at the same time, it seems like, I don't know how to answer that one, I guess.
Yeah. I think the main focus is going to be around the kids, right? Everyone's concerned about the kids. And where you have these highly populated areas, you know, potentially it could move into hospitals or privately funded, but the main place we see it on is schools.
Okay.
So, or got community it. Centers.
Okay, well, yep. Didn't know that existed.
Oh, yeah.
I learned something new. Hurricane-proof, is that coming? I mean,
I hope you don't have to worry about hurricanes.
I know, but I mean, you never know. Those up in Duluth might say something different, you know, when it gets whipping up there.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. So, guys, Jace, Nathan, thanks for joining us here today. Really good stuff. Thanks for the work you're putting in. I know the community in Western Wisconsin and here at Hudson Physicians appreciates all the work you do. For those of us here in the Hudson area, be sure to check out the Big Crane and watch the progression. You've got, what, about 68 weeks here to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And it'll be over quick. And next thing you know, we'll be heading over around January 1st or so on 2023 into the new facility. So thanks for joining us here today on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the invite.
It was great to have you. That's going to do it for today's Optimal Health. I'm Pete Wagner. So long, everybody.